Let's go. Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming in to the Leon the Great podcast episode 120. Was it 126? Nope. Excuse me. 162 of the Leon the Great podcast. Thank you so much for coming in and checking out the podcast, the latest and greatest, or my thoughts on what is going on in the world of technology. And here we are. I am coming to you live in my home studio doing this recording. And also, this is a brand new little setup right here, which I am recording right into my desk, pretty much on my laptop right here, here on my Apple laptop with a 720 quality stream right here, which hopefully it's not too bad, which hopefully one of these days I will go ahead and get right into a webcam right here, probably a much better quality webcam than the one built in into the MacBook Pro 13-inch model, which to me that's fine right there too. I happen to like what I'm using at the very moment, but this is the very, very first time testing this out, and I have to say though, I'm very impressed with the OBS on the Mac and on using Thunderbolt on a dual screen, which I am using right now, which I am very, very impressed on that too, which I have to say, I didn't expect to be this good, dual screen, pretty much going through a dual screen for the very first time here using my monitor on the top and then the screen on the bottom, which that's what I am using right now for the camera. But hopefully one of these days we'll get into something much better for better quality, like I said, but for now this will have to do. And so as of today here in the Leon the Great podcast, so as my first time recording this in my laptop, hopefully it doesn't sound too bad. But we're going to get on today's show and hopefully I can work things out. I already have my pretty much my mic on set on mono, which hopefully you guys can hear me just A-OK. Wherever you are listening to me on, whether if it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts, please be sure to hit the follow if you want to hear more content like this too, which pretty much helps the content anyway, and I will continue doing more of these podcasts all as long as you people enjoy listening to what I have to say, the tech commentaries and things what's to come in today of the world of technology right here too. And I do appreciate every single one of you right here coming into the Leon the Great podcast, which I think is awesome that you guys come here every single week, checking me out too. And the numbers of this podcast continues to skyrocket, which is nice. And I love this right here too. And speaking of me recording on the Mac, we're going to get into topics on Mac right there too. So today's topic, I'm going to be putting my insertion on Apple, the M1, and my thoughts about the whole thing with, especially with the final days of Tim Cook's reign, especially of CEO, and also what I think about what's going to happen with Apple after Tim is out of the picture, you know. That's one thing as well is I can see is, I mean, with a new leadership, you don't know how what's going to come with people coming over and taking one's place, which to me, it's you never know what's going to happen. And with people coming in and out, it's definitely going to be a hit or a miss. And with Apple's history right there too, we've seen some mistakes in the past. And some successes too. And just like anything else, it is going to be a different era. Whoever is going to come as CEO, and I haven't read too much of what's taking place, unfortunately, because I haven't checked up on the news of Apple as much. And in fact, we're definitely going to get onto today's topic and give you my thoughts on it. First is first. So before talking about the stories behind Mac or what I'm going to be going over, I wanted to go over something that I just came across. Now, this story here coming from Reclaim the Net. So this is absolutely insane. What is happening over there too? And I think the whole thing is absolutely egregious. And I mean, talking about Looney Tunes over here, talking about the world has gone bananas. This is the example that we are definitely seeing over here too. And this proves it right here. And my God, I feel sorry for the French going through this mess. And especially this man right here, this dictatorship of a president. I mean, look at the smugness on this champagne socialist. But, however, this is the way I see it. And I know I am being a little political here. And for me, calling him a champagne socialist may be quite broad. But I honestly don't give a flying fuck. Honestly, I don't. And quite honestly, this is not just French French people protesting. But you have all people all over the world, especially against COVID passports, especially how far this is going to go. And it, to me, the COVID passports is not even the answer. And what I understand, they're trying to push this here in the United States, and I think this is absolutely absurd. Let's continue on in the into the headlines here. French citizens face jail for not complying with COVID passports. And for business owners, the punishment is even more severe. So continue on with the article, which says French President Emmanuel Macron has already controversially announced that starting in August, everyone visiting in a restaurant, cafe, shopping center, hospital, or traveling on a long distance train in France would be forced to display a specialized COVID health pass. And now we have some idea of the punishment that France is proposing for those who don't comply. Reading over there, just look at this madness. What in God's name is this? Okay, and we haven't even seen stricter laws coming in the States though. So far, no health pass implemented just yet, but I'm sure that the people that are going to be complaining and saying that this is necessary. You think this is necessary when the amount of people all over France, especially the main cities like in Paris, are protesting against this lockdown? Huge anti-lockdown protests going down in France too. And in fact, you're never going to see this elsewhere in the mainstream talking about this, because they are definitely censoring the truth of what is going on. And they're doing this. This is for your own health and for your own safety. This is absolutely 100% absurd. What the hell is going on? And if they really wanted to do it for your own safety, how about assume the risk and not shut things down? But it looks like they're starting to pick up. French Parliament approves restaurant COVID pass and vaccine rules despite protests. This is on CBS News. But I'm sure that they are going to say that they're mostly anti-vaxxers. And looking over here, this is the images that you're going to see with everyone against the
passes, all this right here too, on even on recent days like this too, which is absolutely insane. So let's go and continue on. And according to Reclaim the Net, which says, according to the law, people who fail to provide valid health passes will face up to 6 months in prison, and those businesses who welcome people without using health passes will face up to a year of prison and a 45,000 euro in fines. How abruptly insane. That is a lot of money. 45,000 euros in fines. Cannot believe this crap in France. I even feel sorry that this has to go through this. And you think that within over a year later of COVID, you would think that this would be all over and done with. And here they are saying that we have this very dangerous variant, the Delta variant, that's out there too, which in fact that there hasn't been tons of evidence. There hasn't been even evidence about the Delta variant and how many people are killed on this too. Where is the statistics on the deaths? And there is not even nothing to prove and how many people have died on this Delta variant. Nothing. Absolutely zero on this too. And in fact, this is absolutely bizarre. And so continuing on the article, many restaurant owners are terrified that the new required COVID permits will transform them into virus cops rather than providers of gastronomic delights. The perceptions are part of the harsh campaign by the French government to force individuals to receive the coronavirus vaccine in the face of widespread demonstrations in major cities. Citizens must present an app pass demonstrating that they have been completely vaccinated or that they have been approved negative tests or recovered from the infection in recent times. According to President Emmanuel Macron, from August 1st, people who cannot show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test at their own expense will be barred from accessing public transportation, visiting a theater, shopping center, bar, cafe, restaurant, and other places. The penalties are one of the strictest in the Western world. Yep, so there we are. Authorization in the West is here. And it's absolutely not also health tyranny, but technocracy tyranny, which pretty much it states right here is that if you have not had a history of COVID, or if you have not had been tested or have taken the vaccination, and guess how much of an issue this is going to be, having to just be very intrusive on people's lives now. It's not just your health, but then you talk about a huge technocracy just checking on your phones and pretty much the data that's now the French government can check on if you've had pretty much if you've had taken the vaccine or not. And I think this whole thing is pretty much overblown, especially with times of the COVID virus and everything that we're seeing. This is not realistic. This is really not realistic what's been happening. And absolutely, the whole thing that we're seeing right here is absolutely not a really realistic thing that we're seeing throughout the Western society, especially how they're dealing with the virus, is not the way this should be. And I've been saying this since last year, is that if this continues, I'm sure that people in France will revolt and protest on this too. And I had a feeling that parts of the world, especially in the UK, Australia, France, Spain, you name it, parts of it too. And there's been protests that I've noticed in parts of the major cities, but it is not as wide and spread out throughout the Western society. It's just not everywhere in every major cities in the United States. Unfortunately, it is just not. It's just not happening, really. It's not happening all over the place as I want that to see. Pretty much unfortunate, but that's just pretty much the way we are at this time, and unfortunately, sad, it is true. So, I mean, again, this is a pretty awful state that they are going through. In fact, let's see here. There's just been so much insanity. In fact, so much things that are getting it's gonna happen real hard. In fact, there's been tons of news of France recently, especially Macron. It's just been getting slammed. It's just getting slammed so much left and right, and then the people in France, they're want Macron to step down, which I can see why they want that to happen, because look at that. Is he really doing anything really good in France that's helping the people that they should have? To me, honestly, no. It's not, though. It's just not. And technically, you look at the results, it is pretty bad. It's just not what we really want to see in Western democracies, you know, and these Western republics are not doing what they're supposed to, unfortunately, and the times are just changing for the worse. I hate to say that, too. I hate to be just like a negative Nancy right here, too, and say that it may not do too well in the West, and this is going to become an authoritarian hellhole, which I really don't want to see that in Western societies. It's just the way they've been acting up now ever since this whole COVID crap started. They are just pushing and pushing and pushing this just many of the restrictions that shouldn't be necessary. Look, you look in the stateside right now. We've seen stuff that's been happening like crazy left and right, especially in New York, in California, Chicago, many of the Western, pretty much of the big cities in the United States. They've are pushing all this nonsense of lockdowns, and I'm sure that this is not going to come to no surprise that if this ever happens, if so, I'm sure that there are going to be a health pass along the way in California, New York, and Illinois, especially Illinois too, not to forget too, because they're going to end up passing things that comes right into their desk, just like that. And you know that that's not going to be a vote, and nobody's going to have word what kind of word that they should do, and anything that the people in Illinois try to vote this out. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Let's just be honest to ourselves, because the fact of the matter is that these people love power. That's the bottom line. Absolutely. And that's the saddest thing that I've been seeing with these pro-lockdowners. In the response of this, they're saying that all these lockdowns are necessary. All these lockdowns are necessary. And I'm thinking to myself, if you think it's necessary, then how come this hasn't done anything to improve anything And, you know, and the pro-lockdowners are listening to everything what is being thrown on the media. And yet, we're not seeing the improvements of what's going on, too. In fact, the pro-lockdowners that I've actually had arguments with, they're saying that if you look at the numbers on the variants on right there, too, they've been pretty much so confused about the difference between the real deaths and the fake deaths. And that's one thing about these pro-lockdowners is that they don't have a good legal argument on this too. They just don't. It's just like they capture everything that they see, every single dribble. But in fact, they don't ever do their own research about who has died, who hasn't. That's the thing about that too that pisses me off with these people. In fact, I've always say this is that the more you give these people in power an inch, they'll take the mile. That's how it all comes down to as well. Period. There is just not going to be no changes at this point. Nothing. Zip. Nada. Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you're going to give them more power than what they should. They shouldn't be even carrying that power. Because honestly, though, all that power you give them, it's not that sexy. It's just giving them more power to strip away your rights. Period. So with that said, I really hope that these politicians should stand down for what they are. And the way I see them, they are the real criminals behind all this too. I mean, well, that's more I can say about that too. Absolutely. They're no good. And that's why I've been saying, keep pushing them, because hopefully one of these days, I hope these people in power can definitely step down. Alrighty, guys. So, next up on the story we have here. Well, this is something I am going to be covering, which to me is eGPUs. So I'm going to transition over to screen, which right here, as I have here in the here in this today's story, which to me it's been around for, I would say, months ago too. And for me here, I will just mention something right here, clear and simple. And I have to say, though, coming what I've seen, what I've seen about the M1 chips, there's been some issues with the M1 chips that a lot of people are not too happy about, unfortunately. Just not too happy. And, you know, a lot of people are having problems, especially the E key, where a lot of people aren't able to use the E key and so on and so forth. But so let me just get on back on topic right here, which pretty much what has happened with now with the M1 computer's release set, and I'm sure that it is still popular, and it is still popular for a reason. Now the M1 Max supports for support on eGPUs, and why they probably won't, and so. In this very, very sense, in this article, after reading this in advance, Apple literally has killed the eGPU markets. And just to explain about eGPUs and what does it do, and I think this is very important to go through, too, as some of you may not know what eGPU stands for, which it stands for simply as Eternal Graphics Processing Unit. And what it does is that it renders video graphics for especially laptops for both Windows and for Macintoshes. Now, the market was highly, highly supported for Max. And for several reasons, because many Max, or a lot of the Max, I should say, not many, but all the Max doesn't have its own video graphics card built into it too, unlike Windows, right? And so that's when you start reading over here, right here, Dave, there's a point that I've read on, when I read into this article too, it just shows you that, right off the bat, the M1, chips for Macs are not supporting, eGPUs. And I find it very, very interesting. And just to go all over my comment on this one, I just find this really interesting. And also, I think what's sad about this, right, was that they were able to kill the market, what was handled onto Apple. And this is probably the worst thing I can say about this, is that, for one, Apple used to mean something, right? And I'm not going to go through a long bloody rant about it too. And I think that the eGPUs, honestly, for Apple, was actually very, very important about this too, because a lot of people, or many people that works in, like, say, photography, video editing, and music production, in many times out of 10, Dave, all, most of them at least, use Apple for rendering colors, anything that has to process pretty much graphics, right? And this was very, very important. And I'm sure that it was used for some video games in some sense, but video games is almost non-existent. Now, if you're trying to play like AAA titles on a Mac, you might as well forget about playing Call of Duty, okay? Shooters it's nothing that a lot of people were just going to get into to begin with. I mean, shooters were just for a thing for a lot of people that are on the PC side, you know? Like, if you have your own custom PC. Shooters were big, like Call of Duty, Battlefield, Medal of Honor, whatever, right? And so this is where I can see that this is something that if you were, let's say, an RPG guy, strategy game, point-and-click guy, or the simple puzzle or action-adventure kind of guy, Macs were games were towards those for those audience right there too. It wasn't just for everybody, of course. Though early on in the year, throughout the early years of Apple, they did had some gaming support though. But sadly enough, in the early years of Apple, they didn't push gaming, and that was not right for thing. The thing about Apple was that was not their niche, right? And that was not something that was built into very much onto early 90s and early 2000s Apple system, which it sucks because they didn't have that much gaming support back then too. But then when you had people that did finally game around mid 2000s or 2010s, that's when things were starting to pick up a little bit with Apple too, and a lot of gamers came up and played on Apple games, some that were actually available to them. So either way, it is quite interesting to see the eGPU markets that were still going right there too. And what I've read on the article is that eGPUs are not going to be available for the M1 Mac chipsets. And the good thing about this is that if you happen to have Intel still, Macs, you're still able to use it, which is fine. And for me, however, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to keep my Mac chipset right here. Because for one, I think that there's just a lot of use cases for Max for video editing and things of that matter, and stuff I'm going to be using to go, which I think it's still going to be useful. However, and I think it's still fine because I right now, if you were to get an Intel chip based Macintosh right there, let's say from the good ones, I would say around 2012 and 2015 Macs, which are still fine. You can still do that too. But if you're able to get the Intel chipsets, at least some point before they're all gone, then you're better off consider yourself lucky. At least this point, that you're better off considered lucky that you've pretty much got something and you're able to use it too, because at some point down the line, right now Intel chipsets will still be supported by Apple for now, but at some point down the road, it's not going to be supported any longer, probably like in the next year or next few years. So probably that's just my guess right there too. So I want to just read a little bit right here on this article from MacHowTo.com, it says here, the main problem with eGPU manufacturers is that Apple Silicon is a very closed ecosystem, which they're right about too. When Apple decided to drop Intel chips in favor of manufacturing its own ARM M1 chips, it took even greater control of what Macs are and are not compatible with. By doing this, Apple argues that it can make Macs which are prepared for the demands of VR on Mac, artificial intelligence software, and other next-generation technologies. Here, we look at whether there's any chance for eGPUs will support on M1 Macs in 2021, and if an eGPU is even necessary for Apple Silicon M1 chip Macs. And this is where I think the Apple cultist that comes into play right here too. And to me, I don't call myself an Apple, and I'm not part of the Apple cult, mind you. I just don't see myself being the part of the Apple cult. It's just something I'm not going to put myself in a position where I want to. And that's one thing about the group of special people, that these people tend to stay on in favor of it too. And this is where I find it's so interesting enough that even people that were part of the cult of Apple, or the cult of Mac, which I can say in a literal sense, it was that people stuck around it for decades and decades. And you know what? And I think the whole cult of Apple, or the cult of Mac, is pretty much at this point dying off. Very literally, because you know what pretty much has killed Apple for me, however, is that they've decided to take Intel out, and they've took out Nvidia. You know, we've seen that over time. They've also killed 36. They've pretty much killed 32 bit programs, which these are old programs that you were able to run backwards compatibility with a 64 program, which is part of your computer right there too, and you were still able to run 32 bit programs in backwards compatibility with depending on your OS. Right now I am running Mac OS High Sierra, right? And it's still able to run 32-bit programs, especially with video games. And for instance, too, and I know that a lot of developers had to make an upgrade in order to keep up, like especially with Steam. If you were, let's say, a Mac gamer for sure, or a Mac, if you're running, like, I don't know, old processors, right? It doesn't matter what you're using. The problem I find out with Apple, I think, even though a lot of people give Apple way too much credit than they give them, here's one thing I say about that was that though they make good products, I agree. I think that's just the landscape with Apple has changed so much within the decade with what we've seen already during the Steve Jobs era of the 2000s when he returned to Apple back in the late 90s, back in 1997. That's when he made a return and started to bring Apple back a new life at that point on too. And that's when the magic started to shine back into Apple at this point when Steve Jobs made the big comeback. So that's where we were at with Apple. Again, I was just one of those younger kids back when I was a teen that actually, just looked at Apple and said, wow, they were just doing something that no other company was doing. And I remember early 2000s, I used to own a Windows laptop. And I remember using a Windows laptop that was running on DDR2. And it was good back then, though. Don't get me wrong. I just think that DDR2 was still running fine. But I found out that the designs on Windows laptop were not also just bulky, but they were producing these hot fans that made it just melted your legs, which I thought, what a terrible design. And the laptop back then was an Acer. I don't know the model, so I can't say on top of my head. I know it was an Acer. It was pretty much in a good affordable price, much better than Apple actually. And because Apples were always expensive. It's just one of those things that anyone could afford. If you had one of those rich parents, you could afford Apple, right? But however, for instance, I've had two hardworking parents. Even if I ever asked them for Apple, they were like, heck to the no. That's $1,000 for a computer? Heck no. And plus, they were still expensive too. And quite honestly, though, I'm kind of glad that the best answer that they can give to a kid was no, because it's still super expensive. It was really indeed super expensive. No lie, though. And going back over here with the topic of eGPUs, and here's the thing, too. Right off the bat, and I think it is quite sad that they pretty much threw NVIDIA out of the market, basically just throwing them off to the ditch. And then Intel was another one. And plus, if anyone still has a current Intel chipset laptop like mine's, and someone else that's using a laptop before November of 2020, they're going to end up supporting it. Who knows? Not right away. They're going to end up using... A lot of people are still going to use Intel chipsets just because it's still around and Apple is still supporting it too at this very point in time. So it doesn't mean that Apple is going to go right off killing the support and just plugging off the switch and say it's over, goodbye. Probably my guess is going to be about 2 to 5 years. Who knows? I could be wrong. Maybe not that soon. But again, let's just go over on this too. While eGPUs do work with a widely used Intel chips, like I've just said, in Mac built before mid-2021, the M1 chip is in an entirely different architecture, and there are no drivers which work with them. There's absolutely no motivation for Apple to developer eGPU drivers for M1 Macs, since it would argue the M1 chip delivers a better performance than any eGPU out there. And I have to say, though, I've never gone through and test out the M1s, the M1 chipsets myself. And I'm sure that I'm not going to even go to an Apple store to try it. But I can tell you one thing is that pretty much they've pretty much have received negative feedback. In fact, that's one of the things I've always said about Apple is that their decision making has been really off right there too. It doesn't matter what you think, whether you like Apple or where you do like Apple or not, it doesn't matter. It's just that their decision making has been very, very off recently too. And I've always said that Apple is no longer a computer company. It's basically pretty much about computers, phones, watches, anything that you can think of right there too. And what Apple is trying to convince the public that they want people to keep everyone in a big ecosystem, which everybody should get into the cult of Apple, which I think is just quite ridiculous. And that's the thing about their products is that they're super, super expensive. And that's one I can say without a doubt is that there is absolutely no way I'm going to purchase a Apple Watch, $350 accessory, which I'm going to barely ever use for exercise. There's just no way I'm going to just go ahead and do that. That's ridiculous. In fact, you can actually find smartwatches less of the value than that too. Especially, who knows, probably Samsung or something less than that too. Who knows? Probably another good take I could just add on right there too. Still, it's quite ridiculous. And that's just my opinion with these computers, especially like the M1s. They haven't received a lot of good publicity. Not even from the fans of Apple, which is crazy because I think if you look at what's going on today, Apple computing has changed very differently, but not in the most positive way that everybody wants to see. And I have to say though, at first when I heard about Apple years ago when I was a teen, I got hooked onto Apple right away, and I thought they had made a very interesting and innovative stuff throughout the Steve Jobs era too. And I thought the iPod was great. The iPad he did, it was like he introduced it like a year before he passed away. The iPhone, of course, all that, you know, and there was just tons of things that you can think of how many things that was introduced to the company. And yet again, it's just like for some weird instance, they're just throwing support left and right, which is absolutely insane. Like they're just going to go ahead and kill off the EGP market, all that right there. Anyways, I've gone to the biggest rant about Apple and their eGPUs too. But however, what is your take about Apple's death to the eGPU support? Because honestly though, this was very, very important if you were a video editor or a photographer. But I think that Apple's not even doing anything about this too. And what I can foresee right there is that a lot of people who have gotten to Apple and tried Apple products, I know that they're going to end up switching a lot. And they can see that, you know, this is not even the best products out there too. And I think they're just shooting themselves in the foot faster than what people know already too. And I've already looked at, pretty much made a good comparison to Apple's and Windows. Windows nowadays have now created good good laptops. Before, it wasn't. Their laptops weren't great. They were bulky, and their devices were pretty much broken out all the time. And nowadays, you're gonna find good Windows laptops that already have GPUs built into the laptop, which I think it's great that they're doing something like that for sure. So that's my take on it too with Apple. I think it's going to be quite interesting what we're going to see further on down the road. All right, so that's going to be it for the Leon LeGray podcast. I hope you enjoy this commentary and my thoughts on Apple and the kill-off switch for the eGPUs and the early reports, what I've talked about France and what you guys think about that other stories I've talked in today. Now, there weren't enough time for me to cover on many topics I wanted to, but I will leave it for next Friday and give you the news of what I think. Because so next week is going to be about privacy and things that what's been happening in the background, especially with Facebook. And I think this is going to be a very big disaster. And I know a lot of political commentators are talking about the whole show between the government working alongside with Facebook with a lot of misinformation, which I haven't gotten around to talking about it for today's episode, but I will leave it to that until next week and doing that from here too. So my last comment I would like to say at this point was that I will at least put it this way too. I owned a Intel base chipset, which is a Apple MacBook Pro. It's a mid 2012, and I have to say it is really good. I like it too. Even for a laptop that's a few years old, I will have to say that props to, at least good thing about this is that it lasts pretty long. And for anybody that is looking to make an upgrade or looking to for a refurbished laptop, this is it right here too. And for me, however, I like the fact that it is very, very customizable right here. Now, though, there's not too much customization to. The one thing I can say is that you can pretty much switch off in the old HDD drive and switch it off to the SSD, which is much faster. And you can just replace the RAM on this, which is absolutely cool. And now, that's pretty cool right there, too. And now, next, I do want to go ahead and take off the super drive, which is the DVD and CD drive off of this, too, and just put a secondary drive if I'm traveling on the go and if I'm looking to create videos out there, which I think it'll be perfect one of these days, too, and while I'm video editing out on the road, which I think it'll be super great. But either way, too, I think it is fantastic. You know, I'll probably snag one of those eGPUs before they're all out on the shelves. And that's something I would love to do one of these days and probably set up a workstation off with my mid 2012 MacBook Pro, probably alongside with another room. Something I will do one of these days on my own. So either way, that's just my commentary about this too. And that's just going to be all for today's podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. Over for episode 162 of the Leon LeGray podcast. So, all right, everybody. Thanks so much for taking a listen. You guys enjoy. Have a great day, night, or wherever you are at. Take care. Peace out.